You've got your 30-year mortgage, then your 15-year, then there's the ARM, including the 327 and the 2228. Then you got your balloon loans, the most popular being the 525 and the 723. Now, you can get these loans through the VA, the FHA, and the RHA, not to leave out our friends Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. You know what I think? I think I'm in a maze, and I don't know if I'm the mouse or the cheese. Well, we've brought in our mortgage specialist today, Dale Vermillion. Dale is the author of Navigating the Mortgage Maze. He's been a mortgage professional for over 25 years. He's a trainer of other mortgage professionals, a conference speaker, and he's been published in a variety of industry publications. He's also the founder of Mortgage Professionals Providing Hope, a relief organization in India. And Dale, always a great blessing to have you with us.
My dear brothers, it is great to be here with you. Thanks so much for having me again.
Thank you.
Yeah, Dale, thank you. Thank you for being here with us. You know, we've been getting a lot of calls recently about some stories that just came out regarding a lot of people who, frankly, were scammed, in real trouble with reverse mortgages. Can you tell us what the problem really has been?
I can. You know, this is a sad story because what we've seen is we've seen some fraudulent activity within the reverse mortgage market. And one of the keys, and let me just give you a little bit of background on the reverse mortgages, how they work, and what is important if you're considering a reverse mortgage. Reverse mortgage, first and foremost, is for retired individuals predominantly. You have to be 62 years of age or older in order to qualify for a reverse mortgage. And it's really the mortgage product itself is a great product for somebody in the right circumstance. Well, what is the right circumstance? If you're somebody on limited income, but you've built lots of equity in your home, and you need to use some of that equity to basically supplement your retirement, the way that a reverse mortgage works is you can borrow against the equity in your home, and instead of you making a mortgage payment like a normal mortgage, you actually get paid from the mortgage company each month so you can build your income. Now, the beauty of that is you can limit how much you borrow against the equity to keep still some of that equity available for your estate, for your heirs, or if you want to sell the property some point in time, you still have money left if you decide you want to downsize or something like this. So it can be a great program, but here's the problem. Just like any mortgage program that is a non-conforming or non-conventional mortgage, you're going to get players who are going to come in. They're going to try to manipulate this. So here's my advice. If you're considering one of these programs, go to HUD.gov, which is the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development site. There is information on the home equity conversion mortgage, the HECM it's called, which is the FHA's reverse mortgage program. Now, this program, because it's an FHA program, is a safe program for you to qualify for. And there is numbers on there. You can contact counselors that you can talk to about your situation. You can go through the government program so that you can be assured that it's going to be a safer program. And anytime you work with any lender, no matter who it is, whether it's a conventional loan or not, you always want to do some due diligence. Check them out. Make sure they've been in business for a long time. You're going to be safe if you're going with a large, well-known bank or a large, well-known lender. It's when you start to get into the weeds with some of these smaller lenders that you can have risks. So just check them out, go to Better Business Bureau, go online, make sure they're okay, and check their license and their certifications against the government site. So you're sure that you've got it covered that way, and that should help to keep from any of those kind of situations. Is that helpful?
Yeah, it's very helpful, Dale. And Dale, could you sum up the pros and the cons of a person and a family deciding on using a reverse mortgage?
Absolutely. The first thing you've got to consider before you even go into this kind of a mortgage is determine what your long-term objective is first. So if you have equity in your home, let's just take an example, hypothetical situation. Let's say that you have a home that's worth $200,000. You owe $100,000 on it. You're only 50% into the equity of the home. You want to get access to some money on a monthly basis to build a supplemental income because maybe your fixed income isn't enough to cover your expenses. So two things you want to do. Figure out what is the minimum that I need. Always borrow for the minimum. Never borrow for the maximum. What is the minimum that I need so I keep the mortgage as low as I possibly can? Remember, Romans 13:8 says, owe nothing to anybody except for your obligation to love one another. The Lord does not want us in debt. So be very careful and prudent with this. Second, determine how much equity you want to leave remaining for your heirs, for your estate, or for any other purposes, and do not go beyond that parameter. So if you're somebody that is in a situation where you need additional income or you need to get access to cash, but you can't afford to repay that for whatever reason, maybe it's for a good purpose like some kind of retirement fund or something that will help you, then this may be a good choice as long as you make it right. Now, the cons are that because you're getting paid, if you, again, take too big of a mortgage amount or ask for too much to be paid to you, you can go deeper in debt and use up more of your equity than you might want to and get yourself in a situation. The really good news about reverse mortgages is that once you pay those off, or if in a case of a death, it's turned over to the estate, any additional equity after the mortgage is paid off goes back to the estate. So you're safe from that standpoint. Just make sure you use good judgment going in.
Yeah, that's very, very helpful, Dale. Why don't you bring us up to date on the latest with our friends at HARP 2. Tell us what's happening with that program.
Well, HARP 2, they keep revising this program, and what they're looking at now is another rendition of it coming out. As we all know, or maybe we don't know, HARP 2 was designed and was changed so that there is no more an equity parameter. What I mean by that is it used to be that the HARP program, which is a program designed for people that are upside down on their mortgage but are paying on time, it was designed so that they could get access to these low rates and refinance even though they didn't have equity in the home. The original HARP was only 125%. Of the value that you could borrow. So if you had a $100,000 home, the maximum loan amount was $125,000. Now, there is no limitation on that. They have opened it up so there is no equity parameter. You could borrow up to $200,000 if you needed to on a $100,000 home, provided you qualified from an income standpoint and a credit standpoint. Now, here's the key. Investors have not been utilizing the program because they've been having a hard time finding companies both that can service it and that will buy it. That is starting to change. We're starting to see now more big investors and lenders come in and start to utilize the HARP program and start to purchase that program. So there's more access to it today than there has been in previous months. So I would recommend you go online. Go to www.makinghomeaffordable.gov. That's the government site for the Making Home Affordable program, which is the HARP and the HAMP programs, the refinance and the modification programs. And you can look at a list of approved lenders on there. You can start calling from that list, and you can find someone who will qualify you for that mortgage, provided your qualifications are in line.
Hmm. Dale, is this not similar to what got us into this mortgage mess to begin with, giving mortgages to people who couldn't afford them?
Not really, and the reason is it's not designed as a cash-out mortgage. It's really designed as a refinance mortgage for those people who are already in debt, but they're paying 5, 6, 7%, or maybe they have a balloon set up, or maybe they have a situation where their current mortgage is really creating problems for them, or maybe they have a first mortgage and a second mortgage, and they can't afford the combined. It's designed not to give cash. It's designed just to refinance that mortgage balance to a lower rate, which can do two things. It can either help you lower your monthly payments, or, as I always mention on the show, what I would prefer that you do is take what you would have saved in monthly payments if you can afford those payments, and instead use that to reduce your principal balance. So, in other words, shorten your term. Maybe take your 30-year loan that has 27 years left, and by virtue of the lower rate, move that to a 25-year or a 20-year loan, so you're getting out of debt quicker, reducing principal faster, and following the biblical context that God has really called us to.
Well, Dale, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think you can refinance one HARP mortgage to another, but what about conventional refinancing? If you've already refinanced in the last 3 or 4 years, can you refinance yet again?
Yes, you absolutely can. In the HARP program, you're right. You can't refinance a HARP loan to a HARP loan, but if you have done a conventional refinance and you're looking out for a HARP loan because your situation has changed, you can qualify for a mortgage loan under today's guidelines.
Okay. Dale Vermillion is with us today. He's the author of Navigating the Mortgage Maze, and if you have a question, now is the time to call 1-800-525-7000. We'd love to chat with you, as would Dale. 1-800-525-7000. All right, let's go to Indianapolis, Indiana. Dolores, nice to have you with us on MoneyWise. What's your question?
Hello, this is Dolores, and I'm 65 years old. I own a home in Arlington, Tennessee, and my interest rate is about 5.75, and I'm wondering if I could refinance to get a better rate. I have one of those Freddie Mac loans. I'm not sure what that means.
Okay.
Dale, do you have enough information to...
Yeah, I think so. I mean, here's the situation. If you have this home and you are renting it out and you're on a seller purchase agreement or a lesser purchase agreement, what you're going to have to do is let the lender know that you're working with. They're going to consider that as an income property, as a second property, which it is, and they're going to let you know whether or not they will qualify you under the guidelines. Now, the guidelines typically, when you're talking about an investment property, is that the loan to values are going to be lower. They're not going to borrow at 80% or 90% or 100%. It's going to be 70 to 75% typically, and you're going to have to make sure you qualify very clearly on your income. But if those things are in place, as long as the mortgage is in your name and as long as the home is owned in your name, the property is vested in your name, and that has not changed through your agreement, you should qualify for a program on that. If you've done any transfer of title, that would prohibit you from being able to get that mortgage to refinance. And because today rates are at 3.43% as a national average on a 30-year and 2.83 on a 15-year and a 5.75 today, it would be very money-wise to do that.
Okay. Now, I currently owe $150,000, and my income is $105,000. And I've had the home since 2006.
Yeah, it sounds like, again, provided your credit is good, credit scores typically need to be above 640. If your credit's over 640, if your income sounds like it's more than qualifiable for that size of a mortgage, provided you don't have a lot of other debt, then there's a good chance you will qualify. But again, you'll need to let them know what you've got, and you have to look and make sure you are entitled to that property, and the vested interest is in your name alone.
And Howard, does this sound like a good move to you?
Yeah, Doris, let me ask you this. The property is rented out.
I had a job transfer, and I didn't want to leave the home vacant.
Yes.
So that's why I leased it, but they could not qualify for a loan, so it's still in my name. But the agreement we made was a lease purchase option.
Gotcha. Do you know what's the likelihood of them exercising that option? When do you think they will exercise the option?
They cannot qualify.
Okay.
Because of their age and income, but I trusted, I wanted to have someone in the home. I didn't want to leave it vacant, and the property values have had so many foreclosures in that Tennessee area that I would have lost money because I purchased at about $200,000, and I've paid that much into the mortgage.
Yes, good for you. Well, I mean, it certainly makes an awful lot of sense to refinance. The only time it doesn't, and the reason why I was asking the question is if they're going to exercise the option to purchase within a year, it may not make sense to do that because you probably wouldn't fully recover your closing costs. But if the folks who are renting with an option to purchase are not going to exercise that, then it sure makes a lot of sense to go ahead and refinance.
Dolores, I hope that information helps you. Thank you very much for calling today. Let's continue. Deer Lodge, Tennessee, WCLC in Alberta. What's on your mind today?
Yes, I've been trying to refinance. We have a modular home, a double wide, and we are paying 8%. And I'm trying to find a loan, a finance company, to refinance us, but we're having a problem because it's a modular home.
Yeah, Dale?
Well, let me give you a couple of things on this. First off, you know, there are all kinds of different classifications of modular homes. Here is the most important thing to any lender when you're talking about refinancing a modular home. And there's plenty of loans out there available for those programs, but here's the key. Number one, it cannot be mobile. And, you know, when you talk about modular homes, some can be moved, some are permanent. Lenders are only interested in working with you if it is a permanent property. In other words, if it has a foundation and it cannot be moved. If it is sitting on, you know, a trailer, which there's a lot of them that fall in that category, that would pose a problem for financing. The second thing is, do you own the land that it is under? If you own the land and it is on a foundation and is permanent, you're going to be qualified for many of the programs out there. Now, this is not an endorsement of any particular lender, but I will tell you that, for example, Chase Manhattan Bank is one of the larger lenders in the country, I believe the largest, in modular homes. So that may be a place to start. What I would recommend you do is go to bankrate.com. Bankrate.com shows all the different programs for all the different kinds of loans out there, and at least gives you a list of different lenders that you can start to work through so you can make some contacts, give them the situation, and find out if you qualify. And certainly if you do, the rates can be lower. Now, if it's not on a permanent foundation, it's going to be considered a personal loan, a personal property loan, not a mortgage loan, and therefore you're probably not going to get much of an improvement on the rates. So that's the key piece in modular financing.
And Howard, being in Florida, you've probably seen this many, many times, huh?
We have. And Alberta, do you own the land underneath it, and is it on a permanent foundation?
Yes, we own the land. We have 27 acres. And
great.
It is anchored down. We have not yet decked it out. We have, you know, the foundation, and it's anchored.
All right. So it's not movable, so that puts her in a better position, right, guys?
That would be correct.
All right. Alberta, we're going to have to run. We have to hit a break, but it sounds like you're in a better position. I'm not sure why you've been having some trouble, but I would take Dale's recommendation and go to bankrate.com and check out some of those other resources he mentioned. We'll keep you on the phone just to make sure you have that information. Thanks very much for calling in today. Our phone number is 1-800-525-7000. We're discussing mortgages with our guest, Dale Vermillion, and, of course, with Howard Dayton. We'll be right back.
It used to be that when you weren't sure where to go, you'd pull out a map. But these days, it's a lot easier to get where you're going. Now there are GPS devices and websites that will give you step-by-step directions. Now, if only you can get step-by-step directions when it comes to money, wouldn't that be nice? Well, you can with Howard Dayton's book, Your Money Map, a proven 7-step guide to true financial freedom. This book gives a clear understanding of what God wants you to know about handling money. With practical wisdom and real-life examples, Howard Dayton will take you from step one, $1,000 in the bank for emergencies, all the way to step seven, true financial freedom. Rick Warren, pastor and author of A Purpose-Driven Life, called Your Money Map the most effective method he's ever used to train people to handle money God's way. Isn't it time to get step-by-step directions on your road to financial freedom? Order Your Money Map by Howard Dayton today at compassone.org.
And welcome back to MoneyWise. It is the day after Election Day, and you might be wondering why we're not commenting on that. Howard, we're not really here, are we?
No, we recorded this a little bit ahead of time, Steve. That's right. And we don't know. I mean, I was hoping that you'd be prophetic and tell us who won, but you kind of held out on me again.
Well, one of them won, we think. But today's program is on tape. But we will, of course, be discussing the election results in the days ahead, unless we have a repeat of a couple of elections ago, Howard, and it's a tie, and we've got hanging chads and all sorts of things like that.
That's right. Well, let's hope there's clarity.
All right. Let's go to Beaufort, Missouri, Bot Radio. And Sam, what's your question today?
Hi. Yes, hi. Due to a lot of complicated issues, my husband has had to take a job out of state, and I've had to stay here. We can't sell our home because I have to take care of my dad, who has Alzheimer's and has all his assets are tied up in legal issues. So we're supporting two households, and I'm struggling with fighting cancer, and we would like to refinance our home, but because of all of these issues, we have had some things reported to our credit rating, and even though my husband is a veteran, we have not been able to get a loan to lower our interest rate so we can maybe pay off some of our bills. Our house is worth quite a bit more than what our mortgage is, but when we file for a loan, these things show up, and I was wondering if there were any sources out there that could help us.
Dale?
Well, the best resource you have, it depends on where your credit score is at. You know, we're finding today in the mortgage industry that the lenders are getting a little bit more aggressive in helping people who've had credit problems in the past. So we're seeing some programs now where even if you're in the high 500s, you may qualify for a mortgage program. But the key to that is you have to have ample equity in the home. They're not going to borrow or lend on those homes unless there's a good equity position. That means you'd have to have a lot of equity to work with, and they may be able to help you. Now, if not, the HARP program is the other program that would be the opportunity for you. The key to the HARP program is you have to be current on your mortgage, and you must have had a good payment history in the past 12 months on it.
We are. But we just filed for a loan with the new VA, and our credit rating is quite a bit higher than that, and they still turned us down, even though our house is worth about $70,000 more than what we owe on it, and they wouldn't even consider us.
Okay. Well, what you want to do then is you want to try a couple of other lenders. Just because you get turned down the first time doesn't mean there isn't somebody else that may be willing to do it. Every lender makes their decisions on credit based on their own credit guidelines. There is no universal guidelines for anybody nationwide. The only universal guidelines is the guidelines on the government programs that require minimums on things like loan to value and debt to income ratio and credit score. So you can try. I would go again. So we talked about bankrate.com. That's a great place to go just to get a list of a lot of different lenders you can look at. I would try some of the larger banks initially. They're going to have a good opportunity. I would talk to a mortgage broker that you know in the local area that's reputable, maybe somebody that you work with or somebody that can be referred through a friend or somebody at your church. This is a good way to get some different opportunities to find out what is available out there by talking directly to lenders and then talking through a mortgage broker or a mortgage banker who can work as an intermediary between other lenders. And with that, you may have a good chance of getting qualified.
All right. Sam, I hope that helps. Thanks very much. Howard, I like that advice. I presume you did as well.
Absolutely, and we just really need to pray for Sam and her husband. They've been through an awful lot, Steve.
They sure have. Dale, thanks so much for joining us today, and you're at DaleVermillion.com, correct?
I am, and feel free to come visit us.
Okay, if you'd like to know more about Dale, what he does, and his book, Navigating the Mortgage Maze, check him out, DaleVermillion.com. Howard, thanks very much. We'll talk again tomorrow.